Well, good morning, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Job. Job chapter 1, in verse 21, and we will be speaking on that part of the verse which reads, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." To put that in context, we're going to read an extended passage in the first chapter of the book of Job. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.' And then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and he worshipped, and he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." Note Job's godly character. Note also that spiritual warfare is always going on behind the scenes. We see a very small part of the reality that is going on here on earth. There is a spiritual battle which is being fought amongst the sons of men between the Lord and the devil and his angels on a daily basis, and it's very real. One reason why God allows trials in our lives is this, and we see it in the case of Job: to prove the reality of our faith. But the scripture says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the greatest of trials are reserved for the greatest of saints. For Job, for the Apostle Paul, and yes, even for the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ himself. We see here that Job lost his property and he lost his children. And in chapter 2, as if that were not enough, he's going to lose his health also. And even his wife is going to fall into a state of despair. And who can blame her? But Job wasn't ready for that one yet. One thing at a time. These two things were enough. So this morning we shall take our text as it comes to us. First, the Lord gave. Second, and the Lord has taken away. And third, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave. Job rightly acknowledged that every good and perfect gift is from above. And the Bible further affirms that all of God's gifts are given by His grace. They are grace gifts. Which means we haven't earned, nor do we deserve any of the good things that God has given us in this life. Well, the next for that matter. Is not grace defined as unmerited favor? Do you have food enough? Clothes enough on your back? Shelter from the elements? Do any of you feel somewhat healthy today? Do you have a job? Do you have a car? Do you have a husband or a wife? What about children? Any parents? Or even, God bless your grandparents still left on this earth? You have a church to worship in where you can worship freely? Do you have a Bible? Or a whole shelf full of them, like I do? A God in heaven that you know through Jesus Christ that you can pray to? Do you have any of these things, or several of these things? Have you knowledge? Have you a skill which allows you to go out in the world and make a living? And that skill may be a physical skill, or it may be simply a gift of compassion where you can work with the least of these in this world. Have you wisdom or understanding? Cease from pride and thank the good Lord above, for all of these the Lord gave. Do you believe in the sinless Son of God, that He paid the ultimate price to reconcile you to God? For you were separated from His holiness on account of your sin. Do you believe that having died, this same Jesus rose again? Well, then God has given you a gift. A great gift, for He Himself has said, and I give them eternal life. To you, He says, believer, and I give you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, it's supposed that our Lord paused here a moment for effect. At least this is how I've always pictured it. And as if anyone didn't get it the first time, he continues, my Father, who has given them to me, who has given you to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Lord gave. When you see that everything, even salvation, is of the Lord, then you begin to see clearly. You begin to see from God's perspective. Therefore, let us resolve to worship the giver and not the gift, the Lord above and not Even your spouse or your child or your parent or whoever or whatever it is that you put on that pedestal. But to worship the Lord and Him alone. This is what is meant by John in the last sentence of his first epistle. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And the Lord has taken away. Now we like the first part of that, right? The Lord gave. We don't like this one so much. Notwithstanding, we are to be blessing the Lord at all times. And we ought to be diligent to do so, because when Job said the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, he worshipped, and the Lord accounts that response to him as a righteous response. He says, in all of this, Job did not sin. Now the Lord God shall never take away the salvation of any true believer. You needn't worry about that. Not Job's salvation, not yours. Would the Lord Jesus promise to go and prepare a place for you in heaven, only to raise it to the ground? But whatever things you may have on earth, these may be removed. For we are only stewards of those things that we have on earth. For it is written, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Young people, as you grow up, you're going to perhaps gain a husband or a wife. Friends are going to come in your life for a season. You may get a job that works well for a little while. A house, whatever the circumstances you are. But as you go, you're going to see that just as the Lord gave some of these things are going to be taken away, some completely, some in measure. And the Lord will give you other things in their place. Be prepared that in all things, that you never lose sight of the fact that the Lord God is on His throne. Amen. And never cease to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember that all of these things are gifts, and God has given you a stewardship of those gifts, even if but for a little while. Now there are a certain brand of preachers that go about preaching a gospel of earthly health and earthly wealth. Christianity promises you neither, but it does promise you spiritual health, spiritual wealth, for now and in the earth to come. Therefore, seek after those things which are eternal, and not those things which are temporal, and you shall have peace. How many have watched their earthly wealth and their earthly hopes evaporate? Have you ever seen the documentaries, the pictures of those who lost all of their earthly wealth in the Great Depression, and because they had trusted only in that, they're jumping out of buildings and slashing their throats? All of these things that we have on this earth could be gone in an instant. Just like that. Look at how Job lost everything. Rapid fire. But you know what? He didn't lose communion with his God. He didn't lose his salvation. And he didn't lose the Lord altogether. How many have watched as their spouse, their children, their parents were taken away in an instant? Even in cases where it's a prolonged illness, death always comes in an instant. The Bible says there is a time to die And yet, those of us who are left are left to mourn and to heal. With God's help, the Lord has taken away those whom He gave, who rightly belong to Him anyway. Now those whom He has taken away, who died as children, born or unborn, or who died believers, have now been committed to better care than you or I could ever have provided for them. They are doing better now than they were before. Surely, we have cause to thank the Lord for that, even in our grief. But what of those who died without Christ, or we don't know their salvation for sure? Well, we know this. We know that God had desired to save them. We know that that's God's perfect will. Well, perhaps they stayed steadfast in their unbelief to the end, and they chose not to be with the Lord. And that may be, but perhaps God worked a miracle at or near the end that He might get the glory, that one might make it into heaven as the penitent thief on the cross. God knows. We leave those things to Him. It may be that Satan has accused you, and God is allowing the trial. And having been sifted as wheat, your faith is proven genuine. It may be that certain material things or employment, or certain associations, certain people from your life have been removed by God, and maybe He's done it for your own good. And if you saw it from His perspective, you would say with Job, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job was able to say between his tears, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I'm not sure if I've ever done this in responsive fashion, but I ask you, can you now say with Job, and join me if you like, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No matter whether good fortune or ill fortune comes, the Lord endures forever. He is faithful to all generations. He is faithful to you. Therefore, let us praise the Lord forever and ever. May we be thankful for His gifts, even and especially those that we have enjoyed but for a while. And may this cause our hearts to be thankfully worshiping, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We've read all these truths. We've expounded upon them. We've seen them from the divine perspective. And yet, we're still struggling, such is the common fate of each and every one of us. But there's good news. We don't go through these things alone. We don't live our lives for ourselves, unto ourselves, or by ourselves. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so, friend, I urge you, if you've been through some of these things, maybe some of these things hit home, it actually occurred to me that this might be a more appropriate as a memorial sermon than a Sunday sermon. But it's all in the Word of God, and we all need to hear it. We all experience loss and trials and tribulations at some point. So it bears repeating, and we need reminding. And for those of us who are doing well. Perhaps we may find some proactive faith, if you will, for lack of a better term. Might be better prepared when the difficult day comes. So let us trust in Jesus Christ today and find spiritual peace beyond understanding, even the salvation of our souls. And let us learn to appreciate those gifts, those people who are still here today, those things that God has given us today. When we get in our car, we thank God that we get a car that starts, we hope. We thank God that our husband's still with us, our wife's still with us, our children are still there, our friends, our family, our church family. So let's learn a spirit of thanksgiving as well. We thank you, Lord, that you're always there for us, no matter what. The very present help and trouble. And we thank you, Lord, for all of the gifts that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the stewardship of those gifts. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of an eternal hope in heaven, which is something that will never be taken away, not even for a moment. Lord, help us to see things from a divine perspective, even if from a human perspective we have trouble understanding why certain trials and tribulations come. Yes, even deep trials and tribulations come. Lord, help us to find faith. Help us to believe and not be unbelieving. Remind us that you're there by day and by night. And may we all be saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you for your word, written and living. We pray in the name of the living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now offer one another the sign of